Music from 1690. We heard Henry Purcell's Ode of Old When Heroes Thought It Base, or the Yorkshire Feast Song. We heard about the first half, ending with a chorus, and in each track of glory since. It's a rather self-congratulatory piece of music for a group of Yorkshire noblemen who were enjoying a feast. Well, in other news, I have here on the line the board president of KNAC, which is the Kalamazoo Nonprofit Advocacy Coalition. They are not a self-satisfied group of noblemen. They are hardworking, regular Kalamazooans who are hoping to create something very special out of a long-standing building in downtown Kalamazoo and have been working on it since 2017. Some great news just recently to pass along about the First Baptist Church building. So, Dan Seitzma, thank you for joining me here on Classical WMUK. And sorry for the awkward segue. I didn't really know.
How to make
Purcell and KNAC totally work together. But we are talking about both history and the future. And during our pre-on-air chat, I got the strong impression that keeping flexible and allowing change to continue was important to this board. But first of all, why don't we get to the big news? And that would be you are now the proud owners of the historic First Baptist Church building. Talk about the work that you and the other KNAC folks, board folks, have done, the Kalamazoo Nonprofit Advocacy Coalition.
Yes, thanks, Kara. I appreciate the conversation. We have been working really hard over the last couple of years, especially to figure out what the future of the building is going to be. And, you know, like any project, there's people with sort of pet biases and pet ideas of what they think it should be. And you know, this was no different. The difference was that we had great conversations about it and had a really good process for still figuring out what the course of the building was going to be and what the vision and mission was going to be for KNAC. And so we took a lot of different steps. We had great conversations and difficult discussions with the First Baptist Church to figure out what was the best future. And what we determined was that the best future was that KNAC would own the building. First Baptist would continue to use it for church Sunday morning and sometimes throughout the week. But really, the KNAC was going to be that guiding force to find the highest potential for using the building as a flexible space to provide affordable space for artists and nonprofits and small organizations and small startups to achieve their highest potential when other locations wouldn't work for them, either for cost or just being apart from downtown. So really it's a haven for organizations and artists that really, really need to be downtown, but also need affordable space to do that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a strong equity component to it as well. You know, we want to make sure that we're helping those that maybe need or could use extra help, removing obstacles to get to their success. So that's really what we've decided and the course that we've set for the building.
So the congregation of First Baptist Church continues to worship there and continues to have a stake in the future of KNAC, or is that a little too strong a statement?
they still are present, and they still have a presence on our board. So they have representation there. So their interests are kept in mind, and also they're a reminder of the legacy of that church and of the building and of that congregation to support the arts and support great music being played in the sanctuary, whether it's for church or for a concert. It's really such a great space that with the help of entities like the I.S. Gilmore Foundation, who helped them renovate their sanctuary so that it could be more used for as an arts venue. And so that started decades ago. So it really is continuing this legacy of celebrating the arts.
That is another reason why I used Purcell in the morning. I've heard so many wonderful period instrument concerts there. For some reason, that's the ones I tend to I've seen at First Baptist Church. So would you remind me and our listeners about why this particular facility, why this structure is so important and worth saving? A lot of congregations have been through this and they just up stakes and move somewhere else. So what is it about the First Baptist Church that is so special?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one of the earliest. It's the first. I try to get all my facts straight with it, but it's the oldest church in Kalamazoo, in Kalamazoo County, even. So it's very old, and it's just been through the history of the entire town. So it's just been a constant witness to every change and every little thing that's happened in the downtown. It's been there, sitting there in various involvements with different things in the city. And sometimes it's been pretty quiet, you know, just a very mute witness to things going on. And at other times, it was very active. Members of First Baptist started Kalamazoo College. And it was very, very tied in together with Kalamazoo College and its origins and development. So there's a lot of history of its involvement with pretty remarkable things in the town. I think beyond just the age, it's been an influence through, you know, various involvements with the arts, and its members have often been very connected to the community, and so it has that rich heritage of community involvement. And I think as it's evolved, the arts, it recognized, like many organizations, that Kalamazoo is an arts town, so let's support that, let's be a part of that and help strengthen that identity. And the KNAC really is just amplifying that recognition and just trying to take it to a higher level and really just amplify the nature of Kalamazoo as an arts town.
It also has just a surprising amount of square footage. What was that estimated to be?
Yeah. So it's a big one. It's about 30,000 square feet and a lot of different types of spaces. There's a big sanctuary it can hold about 450 people. And then my comedy theater holds about 100 right now, and that's going to go up when we get, some codes updated and all that nonsense.
That's right. And most people know my guest today, Dan Seitzma, as the leader of Crawl Space Eviction, and also the board president of KNAC at this time. So yes.
Yeah, different hats to wear. and then the building has four floors and a basement of just really flexible, usable office space and rooms for rehearsals or organizing, you know, if it's a organization that needs office space, you know, they can build their cubicles or lay out however they want. And then in the future, we're going to create co-working spaces in the building that are focused on flexibility. So during the day, users can use it, you know, to do their, to create their work, whether it's a nonprofit that is doing administration or whatever is needed, or artist studio. And then in the evening, it can transition into rehearsal space for dance or theater or music. So there's a lot of flexibility within the building.
Did you have engineers, construction experts, historic preservation experts kind of have a walkthrough? And was anything truly on the cusp of not being worth renovating? Or was there always a way through, a solution to this very old building's issues?
Yeah, it's amazing. In the construction world, you know, you have as many different opinions on things as there are different kinds of buildings. There was a lot of sort of differing opinions on, you know, whether to save certain parts of it or just fix it. And we've come down mostly on fixing it. And, you know, the front facade, if you drive downtown, we're talking about the big white church on West Michigan Avenue. And if you look at the front of it, there's some cracks in the facade that make it look like, oh no, that thing's going to fall down. And some people thought that. They're like, oh man, we got to tear this down and build it new. And then others came in and investigated it more and realized, no, we just need to do a few fixes and we'll get it patched up, and it's still really solid and in good condition. It's just the outer facing is cracking and needs to be fixed. So yeah, there has been a lot of engineers that have looked at it. We've worked with, you know, some of the city's top engineers to examine, okay, how bad are things? And, you know, we've had potential donors come in and say, I'm not going to pay a dime to help you renovate this until I know it's in decent shape and that the bones are good. And we respect that. We really wanted to understand it ourselves. And so we've done a lot of work to understand, okay, what is the true condition of this building? And most of that came back with, it's really good. It needs some tweaking, needs some reinforcement here and there, but overall, it's really, really good for being 170 years old in some parts.
Wonderful. I'm speaking with Dan Seitzma, who's the board president of KNAC, the Kalamazoo Nonprofit Advocacy Coalition, which has a purpose and a goal of turning the First Baptist Church, the historic building downtown, into not only a place for the congregation to worship, but also a place for nonprofit organizations and artists to avail themselves of the facility in any number of ways, in ways that may change over time. We may not actually know, Dan, what it's going to look like in 5 years, but the bones are there, the plans are there. You mentioned the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation as a supporter. Who else has signed on to support this initiative?
Yeah, we've had some really amazing community support, and we've been able to connect with some great foundations in Kalamazoo and some great donors. The Irving S. Gilmore Foundation was very, very generous to help us with sort of our phase one projects that are going on right now to get some critical repairs done and also sort of stabilize our organization. So they have been wonderful. And then the Susan Parrish Foundation and the Dorothy Dalton Foundations have also been very supportive. The Consumers Energy Foundation also gave us a very, very generous gift.
Wow.
And they are really focused on community building. It's been really neat to work with them and have great conversations with them about, about what they want for communities and how they want to support them. They also supported the farmers market recently and some other Kalamazoo projects that are really, really wonderful. And so let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I don't want to leave anybody out.
One is called LISC is one, and I'm not sure what that stands for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LISC has been a strong supporter of KNAC since the beginning, and they've been helping to sort of connect us with a lot of resources as well. So beyond just financial, they've been a really great resource to help us recognize some of the places that we can get funding and get support. And so, yeah, they've been very helpful. Others have been the Jim Gilmore Foundation, Don and Ann Parfait, the Habermill Foundation. The city of Kalamazoo also is a remarkable. The city of Kalamazoo gets a lot of negative attention for everybody feels like they know how to run a city better than the city does. And I think a lot of that is unfair. I really, really think the city of Kalamazoo is doing a lot to create a better community for its residents. And yeah, there's missteps, and yes, there are some major, major problems that need to be addressed and are being addressed. It's just some of these problems are very, very hard to solve. Mm-hmm. And I think the city and the management and city commission are doing a very good job. And also, there's a lot of great things the Foundation for Excellence is doing to help with the city and channeling money to programs that really are doing good things. And so the city of Kalamazoo has supported our project in a pretty significant way. And the last one is the Oaken Foundation. The Oaken Foundation has generously donated to our Phase 1 projects. So great community support.
Wow. Well, even with all that supportive network, the people that you've come to trust and rely on for advice on the board, was it a little bit daunting to sign the document for for KNAC becoming owners of this enormous historic building?
There was a little bit of there's definitely a burden of responsibility. Mm-hmm. That we all feel, and coming out of the office when we signed the papers, the senior pastor of First Baptist Church, David Nichols, said, "Wow, I feel like a giant weight has been lifted from my shoulders." And
guess where that weight went?
Yeah, so that weight's been, you know, placed on the board of the KNAC, and everybody is taking it in stride and is recognizing that yes, it is a large responsibility, but the opportunity that it creates is so overwhelmingly good, and our vision is strong, and our tenants are amazing that we have in the building now, and we want to, you know, multiply that threefold over the next few years. So, yeah, the optimism is very high. It helps to get the money. I'm not going to lie to you. It helps to meet the fundraising goals that we have. And, you know, that sends that clear message of community support, you know, that the people like what we're doing. And they like seeing a building not get torn down that's downtown and important historically. We have had a lot of wonderful, beautiful buildings get torn down over the last few years. And, you know, certainly not judging the reasons for that. But there is always a sadness that comes along with that, that, you know, another piece of our history is being removed, at least a visible piece. So to be able to preserve one, you know, to keep that relevance in downtown and keep that relevance in the community, I think is a very good thing. And I think it helps build that sense of place and build that sense of connection with the entire history of the town. I think that's a good thing. It's also very, very hard. And I now see why, you know, some of the buildings have not survived, because it's difficult to do some of this work. You have to have the right people, and we've been fortunate enough to find those people.
May I ask a practical question? Say I'm just a resident here in Kalamazoo. Can I just walk in? And when are the doors open?
That's a good question. Most of the time there is somebody there that will graciously let you in. And oftentimes there's somebody that, you know, can show you around and show you what's in there. It's not open like many church buildings are, where you can just walk in and, you know, explore or at least sort of experience the space. So in the future, we want it to have more openness, and we want to gradually start finding ways to create that, whether there's an open space,
do you know,
a cafe in the front or something like that.
Do you know what the entrance will be? Which side of the building it will most likely where I would consider it the front door and park accordingly?
Yeah, that's a great question. It kind of depends on the event, or it kind of depends on what you're doing in the building. There's off of West Michigan, there are two grand blue doors that are for more of the major events that happen. Mm-hmm. But if you're going there to meet an artist or a nonprofit that has an office in there, most of the time, you know, you would go through the smaller entrance on the West Michigan side that goes through a little garden area that we want to make even better. So there's lots of ways to get in, and many of them are, yeah, often locked because we just don't have the staff to keep it open all day. We want it to open up more. We want it to be a place where people gather during the day and experience it. And yeah, maybe we'll give tours. That'd be fun to do. As I was showing it around the other day, someone said, "Oh, you should give tours." And, okay. Fun.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. Maybe in conjunction with Art Hop or something like that.
As Crawl Space, if I have Crawl Space members do it, I'll just have them go around and give false facts about the building, things that just aren't true.
Right. Washington slept here.
Yes. This is where Lincoln slept. This is where Lincoln went to the bathroom when he addressed Kalamazoo in 1856.
Right, just next door at Bronson Park.
That's right, because we have the best bathroom. So.
Well, I'm also intrigued by, you mentioned a cafe. I think that's a great idea. What are some other possibilities for the next few years?
Oh, my. The dreams are flowing at the KNAC. We don't have a definitive plan on some things, but it has been mentioned, the idea of a cafe or some sort of coffee shop. And that would be really nice to get the energy and, you know, be a magnet for downtown, or just someplace that people can stop really quick for a cup of coffee or sit and, you know, work for a little while.
Is there a massive kitchen in the center of the building?
A massive kitchen. Yeah, like a lot of churches had or have, there's a big commercial kitchen in there. And it needs a little bit of updating, but it's still usable. And we have right now two major kitchen tenants, Huey D's. He makes cheesecakes and also does some catering. And then Love Muffins is another company. that makes great, great carrot cake muffins. They're amazing. So, yeah, the kitchen gets used a lot, and we plan to add more kitchen users over the years and really get that used. So, yeah, there's lots of spaces to use. Brian Heaney is a studio recording expert and professional, and he's in our building now. And so anybody that wants to do recording in the sanctuary, we make that very easy. If they want to live stream a concert in our building, we have all the equipment and everything to do that in a very high quality way. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that people can use the building to really achieve their dreams.
Well, because it's a collection of nonprofit agencies and artists and bakers and all of this, I mean, is there one place online where you can go look at a list, get some ideas, make some plans, contact people you might want to contact about seeing what they do? Is there one place to go for this?
Yeah, so probably the best source of information is our website. It's knac1853.org, and there's a lot of great information about it. It's still being built, so there's functionalities on it that are sort of halfway there, and those are developing. We want to have sort of a list of all the rooms available and things like that, and that's still a little bit on the clunky side right now. Just because we need to develop that. But that's probably the best source of information right now.
Dan, I imagine you didn't really, when you were a kid, picture yourself as a board president of any kind of organization. You just like, I just love comedy, want to be funny, improv. I wonder about this process, which has taken many years, and as you said, involves discussions, sometimes very difficult discussions. And amid the larger picture of democracy and what our country is dealing with right now, with some threats to democracy and speech and siloing of opinions, it sounds like it was a struggle. But I wondered if you would kind of speak up for the process, as opposed, mm-hmm. you know, the alternative is a single owner making all the decisions, which goes mm-hmm. faster, but mm-hmm. this may be ultimately of more use to our community than any other idea that could have come along.
Yeah, I love that. I love that sort of connection to sort of a greater ill that has befallen our nation and just in our dialogue. And a lot of it honestly comes back to the philosophies of improvisation that I teach, that I live, that I constantly try to explore and experiment with, is these notions of what creates great improvisational theater is often what creates great relationships in life and great dialogue and communication. You know, those tenets of yes and to accept people's ideas and accept where they're coming from and then build on that rather than demanding that they come to your point of view and demanding that they come to your point of view and way of thinking. You meet them where they are and recognize you don't have to agree with them. Honestly, oftentimes it's way more interesting if you don't, but if you accept it, and then you build something on it that creates the dialogue. It creates the conversation where there doesn't have to be agreement, but you're really trying to understand. And, you know, true listening, I've taken this on as a great definition of listening, that it's your willingness to change your mind. You know, if you're truly listening to somebody, it means that you are willing to hear something that is going to change how you think of things. And, you know, I teach active listening all the time, you know, that You need to demonstrate that you're listening and leave no doubt in that person's mind that you are listening to them. All of those things that I've tried to teach, and you know, my company Improv Effects brings improv, applied improvisation to workplaces to build team and culture and leadership, and all of those things have been tested in this process with KNAC. All of the facets of active listening and empathy, you know, to recognize that just because you think somebody is thinking dysfunctionally doesn't mean that that negative view of it is going to be helpful. Just recognizing the dysfunction of it isn't really going to be helpful. Recognizing why it is that they're thinking a certain way, then you're getting closer to something that's helpful.
Right. A lot of us just stop at the thought, well, that's dysfunctional, but there's a few steps beyond that.
Yeah, and you start to look at your own life and your own way of communicating and think, wow, what have been times when I certainly have not communicated in the highest functioning way, and what was causing it? And usually it's pain, it's confusion, it's some sort of negative experience that is biasing you and, you know, sort of convoluting how you're thinking about something. It's taken a tremendous amount of empathy and recognizing that there's a mourning process that goes on with any sort of change. The Kubler-Ross change management process very much resembles the stages of grief. You know, anytime something changes, there's a process very similar to grief that happens, and it just has to be recognized and respected. And sometimes it takes longer than you want, and that's okay.
Dan, it's been really wonderful talking with you today, and thank you for expanding on the themes at the end here. Dan Seitzma is the board president of KNAC, the Kalamazoo Nonprofit Advocacy Coalition, which recently became the owners of the historic First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. It will be put to many uses. You can find out more details at the website, which is still being developed. And of course, there may be shows in your future for Crawl Space Eviction right downtown. and briefly, are you planning to open up the theater and allow people to come and enjoy some improv?
Yes. 1,000 times yes. the KNAC has been a large priority over the pandemic while we can't do shows and can't do classes. So that's been my focus, but focus is going to shift dramatically towards Crawl Space again, and we're hoping to reopen in September with, you know, a full experience and all of our teams ready to make people laugh and, you know, hold up the funny mirror to this weird reality that we already have. And have some fun.
I'm smiling just thinking about it. Thank you so much, Dan.
Oh, thank you, Kara. I appreciate it.